This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody at TFMR. Hey, it is Christmas weekend, three-day holiday weekend. Hopefully you're getting some time away with friends and family, and now maybe you're sitting in an airport, sitting in the driver's seat of a car looking to kill some time. I've got a great podcast for you to listen to. As you know, maybe once a month, we like to bring in a CEO of a mining company, whether it's precious metals or base metals or battery metals, to get you familiar with the company, get you familiar with the CEO, and send you on your way as something to take a look at. Now, you recall, about a year ago at this time, the price of lithium was soaring. Everybody was excited about battery metals. I have been in and out of a couple of different lithium explorers and lithium companies, and now the price has come way back down. And so it's like, well, okay, now maybe it's time to start looking at the sector again. So with me is Jeff Wilson. He's the CEO of Eureka Lithium, a company that's going to be exploring for lithium in Quebec. And I thought you should get to know him. Jeff, thanks for taking some time to visit with me.
Hey, Craig. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And it is a pleasure to get to know you. And I'm excited to learn more about your company. And I want to share more links and information on this page so people can check it out for themselves. Like I was saying at the beginning, though, Jeff, I mean, this lithium market's been crazy. I mean, it's priced in metric tons, if I understand that right. And for a long time, it was $30,000, $50,000 a metric ton. Then all of a sudden, it went to $100,000. And then about this time a year ago, it went screaming like to $500,000 or $600,000, and of course it's now straight back down. Like I said, maybe it's at a point though now where a lot of that excess has been kind of ground back out. Has anything fundamentally changed in the lithium market to explain that, or is it just, do you think it was just a speculative rush?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few different factors at play here. I mean, certainly the speculation probably got a little bit ahead of itself. I mean, there's been an awful lot of talk and an awful lot of media coverage on, you know, sort of the clean energy movement and EVs. And I think, certainly there was an understanding or there was expressed understanding that there was going to be a shortage of some of the necessary minerals and commodities necessary to make that transition. And so perhaps the price got a little ahead of itself. And we see that often with sort of the fear factor a little bit with supply demand ratios for commodities like this, where these things get sort of overbought, perhaps. As the price sort of settles back in, I mean, for people like myself that are in the lithium space, you know, I think this is actually a good thing. And quite frankly, it's a good thing for investors because, you know, at any point in time where a commodity or a component of any kind of technology becomes too expensive, it often outprices itself. And suddenly, you know, research and development will find an alternative. A cheaper alternative. And yeah. So I think what I like to see is kind of what we're seeing here, which is that there's an understanding that lithium is a necessary commodity. There is a shortfall of it. The pricing is in a place where it's not going to throw off or turn off those end users that need it for whether it's EVs or other devices. So, you know, I kind of think we're falling into a pocket here where the lithium price is just about right. And, maybe there's some room here for it to appreciate a bit. But, you know, this puts it in a bandwidth where I think it remains sustainable and viable for the kinds of technologies that are going to utilize it.
Yeah. And I think you make a great point. It's like if you're going to be looking at not just the commodity, but the producers of the commodity and exploration companies, you'd rather be doing so, you know, buying low. You know, we wouldn't want to be chasing like a year ago, because then that price comes down and the funds flow back out and everybody suffers. So we're now at least back to, you know, something rational, and we can build from here. I'm excited about what you're doing for a number of reasons, and I want to cover that today. But let's start with your initial, I guess, resource area, which is all the way up at the northern tip of Quebec in the Nunavik region. Now, we're up there north of the Arctic Circle, about the same latitude as Greenland. So you're quite a ways up there. But it's not like you're just throwing darts at a board. There's a privately held company called Kobold Metals, which has investors like Richard Branson and Bezos and Gates. And they're up there too. So there must be something going on up there. What can you tell us about the company and why you are up there looking for lithium in the Nunavik region?
Yeah, it is a little bit remote. It is a little bit, further up north than other sort of maybe slightly more active areas for mineral exploration and certain lithium exploration. But part of that's part of the appeal for us is that it is underappreciated, underexplored, underdeveloped, and that, therein lies an opportunity to discover something that maybe has not yet been discovered. That you may see in areas that are sort of, heavily explored. The guys at Cobalt, as you mentioned, this is a pretty compelling private company, backed by the names that you mentioned, some pretty sort of well-known billionaires that themselves see the need and the desire globally for some of these critical metals. They've gone out and raised hundreds of millions of dollars privately, with a focus on searching for lithium, cobalt, other critical metals. They're quite active in the area where we are located, and their focus there is on nickel exploration, and to a lesser extent cobalt. But this is an area that not only is it a little bit remote from sort of an active exploration standpoint, but there are important aspects of infrastructure in the area that make it viable for an eventual possible mine, should we all be fortunate enough to make discoveries of deposits. This is one of the top five nickel mining areas in the world. There's airstrips, there's deep sea ports, and so there's a familiarity in the area from the locals and from local governments about the importance of mining. So that's part of where you want to be. There's no point going out and finding a meaningful deposit and then running up against obstacles as it relates to bureaucracy or local communities. So we're in a good place there. Part of the reason we're there also, however, is this sort of rediscovered proliferation of known lithium mineralization in the area. Many years ago, the Quebec government did a government-backed survey, a lake bottom sediment sampling survey, where they tested throughout the entire province. I mean, you're talking about over 130 individual samples in this survey. And these regions in northern Quebec produced some of the highest lithium readings in all of the province of Quebec. And so that was part of what our one of our main advisors and prospectors identified, and we sort of honed in on that data and utilized that as a mechanism for targeting projects that we thought were not only prospective for lithium, but also had some known lithium readings. And I'm talking about stuff that's in the 99.5 percentile of this entire government survey. So we identified something that gave us a good foothold in terms of where we wanted to be. And then again, of course, when you're starting with early stage exploration, you need a lot of land in order to explore, and you're never going to find something right away. So it takes some time, and the more ground you have, more prospective ground you have, the better chances you have of success. And so we've picked up significant large land packages, over 1,400 hectares of ground here, that we think has the right affinities for potentially hosting meaningful lithium deposits.
Well, and it's always good to know your neighbors, and it's always good for your neighbors to know you. I would imagine they'll be keeping an eye on what you're doing up there, and watching for success that you're going to have. You mentioned, and you're not a one-man team. There's a guy on your team who's a technical advisor, who I'm sure many of my Canadian listeners will be familiar with, by the name of Sean Ryan, who has been a prospector of the year a couple of times. He kind of made his bones in the Yukon. Most recently, he has been a big proponent, and a big discoverer, if you want to put it that way, in Newfoundland. And I think we all here at TFMR know and are excited about the prospects of Newfoundland from a precious metal standpoint. So now you got Sean on your team who's helping you with your lithium search. What can you tell us about bringing him in?
Yeah, I mean that really was the catalyst for the company and sort of the place that we're in now. Essentially, Sean came to Eureka with a concept and said, "Look, I want to turn my precious metals prospecting hat and turn it around and take a look for lithium. I think this commodity is here to stay, and And, rather than sort of, jumping into where, some of these crowded spaces in other parts of Quebec and Ontario and other places where, companies are sort of crawling all on top of each other to find postage stamps, that they can sort of hope to find some lithium on. Sean took more of a global view and a big picture view, and as I said, utilized some of the government data, various other exploration techniques in terms of structure and geology and rock types and things like that, and sort of vectored in on Northern Quebec as an underexplored area that had the right affinities for potentially hosting real sizable, meaningful deposits of lithium. And so Sean came to us and with this concept and with these land packages, and we consummated a deal with Sean that didn't just pay him a bunch of money for these claims that he had targeted, but rather we did an equity-based deal where primary upside for Sean in this is not take the money and run, it's becoming a shareholder. And so Sean now is one of the largest shareholders. In fact, I believe he is the largest shareholder of Eureka. And he's sort of hitching his wagon to Northern Quebec as the next leg of his career in terms of making meaningful discoveries that ultimately turn into deposits that major mining companies and end users are going to want to get their hands on.
Again, the story is not fundamentally different from looking for gold or silver. I always tell people when we do these podcasts, you always got to look for good jurisdiction, rule of law, all that kind of stuff is always pretty important, and at least we have that in Canada. And it's also part of the team, right? You got to have people that have done this before. You got to have people that actually, know what they're doing and know where to look. You don't just, just take an axe and start chopping at the ground. There's a reason for being there in the first place. So you've got Sean, who again is kind of putting his money where his mouth is, saying that this is a place we need to look. So, with that in mind, I know you've recently finished off a nice little private placement to fatten up the treasury as we go into 2024. What are your plans? I understand not only up there in the Nunavik, but maybe looking someplace a little south too.
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate in this very challenging capital markets environment that we've been in for the last year and a half or so that we've had pretty good access to capital. I think that's a testament to the people and the quality of the assets. And so, as you mentioned, we were able to close on a financing in recent weeks, and that gives us a healthy treasury to do the kind of exploration work that we plan to do, not only in the short term, but really probably enough to get us through the better part of certainly the first half of next year and perhaps beyond. And so, yeah, look, the picking up these early stage, large tracts of land like we did in Nunavik off the back of Sean Ryan's guidance, these are early stage assets that sometimes take a little bit of time to flesh out. And so what we did this year was we got a significant amount of groundwork, prospecting, sampling into some of the key areas. But we expect to go back in there again next year. We did delineate a couple of key areas that we believe are drill worthy, at least for an early stage of sort of exploration type drilling, which would be RAB drilling that we would do perhaps when the season turns, say in the spring. But again, still lots of exploration groundwork to be done to continue to delineate additional targets. Essentially giving ourselves a few more lottery tickets. Such that at such time as the drills start turning, we're not a one-trick pony, and that we've got multiple target areas to test with a real aggressive drill program. Let's hope, in the spring and summer of 2024. In the interim, as you indicated, there are other parts of the province that are highly prospective for lithium, and to balance out our portfolio, in recent weeks we've announced the signing of a letter of intent with another junior exploration company, whereby we've got a right to acquire 100% of a project in southern Quebec that is a little bit different than the Nunavik region in that it is, road accessible, good infrastructure, year-round access, and in this case is not as early stage. This is something that's actually seen some prior drilling. This is in a district where there is quite a bit of lithium exploration activity going on, and so we're getting a more advanced staged asset here. With a view to get 100% of this project. And it's a project that is fully permitted for drilling. And because of the year-round access and infrastructure, we're hopeful that if we can get this letter of intent turned into a definitive agreement and closed here in the coming weeks, The expectation is that we could be drilling this new project called Lac Lamont as early as January of 2024. So really in the coming weeks, we could be active with a drill program on that asset as we and that of course will lead into drill assay results and potentially identifying some new target areas, keeping the news flow and the activity steady in the interim until we can get back up into Nunavik and really hit the ground running there again, as I say, in the spring.
And what is the seasonality of that up there in the northern part, Jeff? Is it you got to get to about May and you can work May to September, or does the permafrost kind of help you to keep going year round?
Yeah, I mean it's sort of twofold. On the one hand, in the summer months, in some of the more southern parts, James Bay and parts of Quebec where there's lots of lithium activity, in the summer there, it can get quite swampy and difficult to do prospecting
Yeah.
because really you're just walking through swamps. In northern Quebec and Nunavik, in the summer months, because it's more of a tundra sort of terrain, it's not as swampy. It's quite dry, and there's quite a bit of because of that there, and the lack of water and swampiness, there's a lot of outcrops sticking out of the ground. And so, when we did our most recent prospecting program, we could see from Google Earth, we could see the right kinds of rocks, sort of outcropping and sticking out of the grounds. And you're looking for these pegmatite, potential spodumene hosted pegmatite rocks. They've kind of got a unique gray sort of color that you can spot, like I said, from Google Earth images. And so it allows us to sort of see where we might want to drop crews and do some sampling. So in the summer months, great ability to sort of get around but on foot and do mapping and prospecting and sampling. In the winter months, when some other companies further south might be able to drill and drill off the ice and that kind of thing, it gets a little bit more challenging because of just because of the weather and the
Yeah.
limited daylight and that sort of thing. So really, the summer months, as you say, sort of could be as early as March. Until this year we were able to get in and out and operate until late October into almost into November. So it's a pretty good field season up there and gives us lots of time to get in and do the work that we need to do, but also gives us some downtime, if you will, where hopefully we can focus on some of these other assets in other parts of the province during that downtime, but at the same time, evaluate, interpret, review the data that gets collected during the field season in Nunavik so that we have a keen understanding of what we want to do when the window opens up the following season.
You bet. And during the summer, you can work about what, 20-hour days. So
Yeah.
you've got to make up for it up
Absolutely.
there.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And one of the things that we were able to utilize, we talked about the advantages of working with someone like Sean Ryan. We have a field crew that it works with Sean Ryan on an ongoing basis. And so this is, that's another advantage of our group is that, Sean's, sort of the rock whisperer, if you will, and, Mr. sort of concept. It's important that you make sure that you've got continuity between the guy that's coming up with the concepts and the
Yep.
people that are in the field executing. And so we use a contracted exploration management company called Ground Truth Exploration, and they work very, very closely with Sean. And so it's allowed for some really good synergies there in terms of making sure that, the guys in the field are doing the kind of work that Sean wants done and that we want done, and helps to sort of streamline the processes such that we're exploring these projects as efficiently as possible.
Yeah. Well, and again, for everybody listening, you can begin to see why I was intrigued by this when I first found out about Eureka Lithium. It's a different, when I looked at the South American lithium companies before, where they pump the water out of the ground, that's all the lithium is in the groundwater, and then they got to let it dry out and settle and all that stuff. It's a little more traditional, and in a sense, you drill it out and prove it's there, and go from there. And it is, again, a lot of stuff here that I find fascinating. Just want to double back though, Jeff. Is there anything else I miss? Anything else you want to make sure we cover?
No, I think the key points here for your listeners and anybody who's looking at Eureka is, really good, strong technical team. I think strong, capable access to capital. In what's been a pretty abysmal capital market over the last 12 to 18 months, we've raised several rounds of private placement money that's going into the ground and keeping the company aggressive. And as I said, last year was sort of a first phase for us where we completed the acquisition of the assets. We completed a first financing and kind of got boots on the ground to really sort of hit the ground running through late late summer last year and into the fall. We're really in a place now where securing this secondary asset, getting the data from this summer's program to leverage into a much more aggressive and I think early start to the 2024 season, I think is going to give us a really active news flow through 2024, and hopefully being active on several projects in what we believe is a couple of what we think are some of the most important lithium camps, certainly in Canada, if not beyond. And we've got, we think, the right people, the right prospects, and our finance to get at these things aggressively in 2024. So we're really excited about how we've set this up. And I think that, as you pointed out at the beginning, lithium has pulled back a little bit in general, but I think that there's another wave here to come, both in the lithium sector and in the exploration sector. And we're really looking forward to getting going here in 2024.
You bet. And I'm excited to watch your progress. Thinking about the discussions I've had here on the side about uranium over the last couple of years and the fundamentals and what should be a pretty strong increasing demand for uranium in the years and even decades to come. And though there's been volatility, I just can't see where there's not going to be an increased need for what, we loosely call battery metals, whether it's, cobalt and nickel and lithium and the rest. It's going to have stages, just like your uranium's going to have stages. But boy, what a fun way to kind of diversify a mining portfolio, that's for sure. So anyway, as we wrap up, though, as I always say, don't just take my enthusiasm and make it your own. Anybody listening to this, you got to do your own due diligence. You got to do all the background yourself. You've got to then also assess your risk tolerance, your time horizons. If you're looking for something, that's going to move in the next 6 months, I mean, you really got to try to make sure you do all of this homework on your own. But that said, this Eureka Lithium certainly has my attention. The symbols, if you want to do some research, in Canada, this is pretty simple. Eureka Lithium is ERKA. That makes sense. Down here in the US, it is UREKF. They always put the F on there, apparently for foreign. So anyway, ERKA in Canada, UREKF in the US. Put a bunch of links on this page to take you to the website, some internal links, like the corporate presentation as well, so that you can, again, do all that homework and due diligence. And then we'll try to keep in touch with Jeff. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. It's been fascinating.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Craig. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk, and look forward to speaking to you again down the road.
Yes, I can't wait for the next update. I think it's going to be a big year for you guys, and it's going to be fun to follow your progress. So again, thanks to you and for your time, Jeff, and thanks everybody for listening. I hope everybody has a great Christmas holiday weekend, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week as we wrap up 2023. Cheers, everyone. Have a great weekend.